Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Somebody say, good news. Unto the meek, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of his favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Somebody say amen. I'm going to go to Isaiah 59, reading from verse 1 and 2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy or closed up, that it cannot hear. But your iniquity, somebody say that's me, have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Do it again. Do it again. Would you lift your voices to the Lord and pray for Pastor that we would be doers of his word? There's a lot of hearing, but let's do some listening and application of his word. Father, we thank you today for your love, your kindness, your mercy. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you for all that you have done in this place today. We thank you for our children. We thank you for worship. We thank you for truth. We thank you for the Bible, God. We thank you that you love us and you died on the cross. But God, we pray tonight, this morning, that you'd fill somebody with your spirit, God. And we pray that lives would be changed and impacted, God. That you would do what your word says, God. That these signs shall follow them that believe. We give you glory and we give you praise. We give you thanks this morning, God, for all that you've done. All that you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated. You remember, as a kid, tell your neighbor, you remember. Someone in class did something funny as the teacher had their back to the class. You know, he or she's writing on the chalkboard. And you always had that one kid in class, you know, kind of did, made the funny faces, or, you know, kind of did that thing with their arm. And they would always do things like that. And the teacher would be writing on the chalkboard, and that kid would be doing what he did or she did. Usually it was a boy, you know. and then everybody would start chuckling and be like, oh. And she would turn back, and everybody kind of have their head down and start paying attention. And some are smirking, and she turned her face back to the chalkboard and start writing again. And somebody would say, hey, do it again. Do it again. One more time. Do it again. You know, or and it would kind of encourage this kid to do it again. And usually somebody got in trouble, you know, somebody had to get missed their recess, or they got a note sent home. But, or you maybe you were at the mall, or you went somewhere and they just said, hey, if you take this questionnaire, your name will be entered into a drawing to win something, you know, Josh, and you're standing there, you're like, I don't got time for this, but you look at the gift, you're like, well, I could use that. I've been really wanting one of those, and I can't afford to buy one myself, but my goodness, maybe I'll fill out two or three of these questionnaires and increase the odds of me, my name being drawn, Sister Kendrick, and then I could win whatever it is that I've been wanting. And so, and it happens, and you win, maybe, and every time you walk by one of those kiosks, and they're standing there with the clip board, you know, you didn't even have to ask you. You'd say, oh, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to fill one out for everyone in my family, whether they're here or not. You know, you start unloading people's phone numbers and it goes on and on and on. And you start winning, or they start winning, and it happens, and you just do it again. It's kind of like what the scripture says, you know, ask and it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open up to you. But how many times when have we been sick, or we've been bummed out, or if we've had a bad day, or we've needed direction or encouragement from the Lord, or a place to live, a job, you've needed a touch from God. You've walked into church services, or you've come into the house of God, and you needed a word from God, and you prayed, or somebody says, if you would just come to church, if you would just have a Bible study, if you would read your Bible, if you would pray, God will speak to you. And maybe a day later, a couple weeks later, you're healed, and God answers the prayer and the situation. He meets your needs, and that person was right. And then another time comes by, and it's as if you're in that same predicament, or it's a different season of life, and you need another healing, and you need an answered prayer, and you need a job or direction or encouragement, or you need to pray through. You need to talk to the Lord. You've been living in between the confines of flesh and the spirit. You're just kind of in the church on Sunday, but by Tuesday you're already forgot about what took place on Sunday. And so you've learned the principle of that God can do it again. And I've come to remind all of us this morning that, you know, sometimes we just need a good reminder that our God can do it again, that our God can heal, He can deliver, He can bless, He can forgive, He can fill people with His Spirit, He can wash away sins, He can answer your prayer, He can do it again and again and again. Let's be honest this morning. How many times have we woken up and we've assumed that the sun would be there in the morning? That's just the simplest form of God doing it again.
Yeah.
Because He's faithful.
Yeah.
In fact, you should have been. Somebody say, I could have been. You should have been dead by now. Some of the things that some of you did that people don't know about, my goodness, you should be locked up forever and the key thrown away. Some of you should have lost all your mind by now. Thank the Lord, you still got a portion of it left.
Yeah.
God, what God has done for you in the past, God can do for you and somebody today. That's what He does. He's a God that just does it over and over and over again. Lamentations 3, I mention it often, but His mercies are renewed every morning. Just every single day, brand new mercy. Ephesians 2 and 4 tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Our scripture text this morning, Jesus actually quoted this same setting in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, and He read it to the people in the synagogue. But I'm reading from Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings, or good news unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. When you look at the word meek and you begin to break it down, you begin to understand what it means is you could be lowly, or you could be needy, you can be depressed in mind or circumstances. That can be any one of us at any given time.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, everybody needs help every now and then.
Yes.
At any given time, each of us needs some good news. And can I tell you that the scripture says that I've come to proclaim the good tidings, or the good news. Good news travels fast, but so does bad news. Good news is good for your body. It helps you, but bad news has the adverse effect on your body. Bad news can be gut-wrenching. You ever hear some bad news and it makes you want to throw up? Makes you sick. But you hear some good news, and before you know it, you want to shout, you want to jump, you want to hug everybody, you want to kiss them. You say, what's wrong? I just got some good news. The gospel is good news. The Bible is good news. God's word is good news. And the more you read it, the more you fall in love with it, the more you understand, the more you get closer to God, the greater the news and the testament is in your life, because then you understand that I am His and He is mine. And what He's done in the past, He can do over and over and over again. When it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to preach good tidings. Preaching is proclaiming or making known. So when I preach, I'm proclaiming the Word of God. I'm preaching from the Bible. The Word of God is anointed. The Word of God is true. The Word of God was written by inspiration of God. It is God breathed. This is still the number one selling book in all of the world. It is life changing if you apply it to your life. But to preach is to announce or to proclaim. I'm a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an attorney. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I come to preach and to proclaim the good news. Sometimes the good news is good news, but it hurts because it qualifies us to change and it convicts our hearts and it challenges us because it's the truth. But baby, if the truth is the truth, the scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. That means if the shoe fits, get it. Whatever it costs, you get it, you keep it, you don't sell it, you do what it says. And know that in God's Word, it can be done over and over and over again. Sometimes the Word of God is challenging. It's not easy to accept. It's convicting. Sometimes it can rub you the wrong way. Somebody say, oh yeah. But it needs to be factual. It needs to be done in love. Regardless if you want to receive it, it's still the Word of God. That's the beauty of the gospel, is it's true. You see, not everyone accepted Jesus, but He still healed.
Yeah.
Amen.
He still loved.
Yeah.
He still forgave.
Yeah.
He still blessed.
Yeah.
He still taught.
Amen.
He still encouraged. He still went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins. People didn't have to believe in Him. They say, well, it's just another man. He was not just another man, but He was God manifested in the flesh. And when He took on the sins of the world, He did it for us. Every sin, past, present, or future, He went to the cross. And He, every time we do something we're not supposed to, every time you fall short, every time you sin, your iniquity separates you. But His love is there for you, saying, you know what? I died on the cross for you, and I would do it again. But I did it once and for all, and I paid the price for everybody. That, my friend, is good news this morning. We've all been in circumstances that in places in our times where we've needed encouragement. We've needed to be edified. We've needed to be blessed, uplifted, our faith to be stirred. Today, maybe some of you have come and you're hanging on to life and your relationship with God by a string. Maybe you've come and you're not into religion. Well, guess what? I'm not into religion either. I'm into Jesus. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to those of you this morning and to remind you that God has a word for you today.
Amen.
But if we will be hearers and doers, God can revive you.
Amen.
God can restore you. God could bless you. God could heal you, because that's what He does, and He'll do it over and over and over again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 30, David is coming back, and we don't need to go there in the scripture, but if you're taking notes or you're listening online, David encouraged himself from the Lord. He comes back and from battle, and the Amalekites had destroyed basically the homes and taken the children and the animals and those that were left behind, and had taken them captive. And David was the leader, and he was upset. He in fact cried until there were no more tears, and the men that were with him began to cry until there were no more tears. And then the men even talked of stoning David and saying, "You're our leader, and how could this happen?" It was just a very sorrowful situation. But David began to preach to himself. I'm playing on words, but he began to testify himself. In fact, this scripture says in 1 Samuel 30, right around verse 6, it says, "And David encouraged himself in the Lord." I wonder if David began to testify to himself about what he understood of times past, of Joshua 1:7, where the Lord said, "Be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. And then it says, turn not from the right hand or to the left, but thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. I wonder if David began to encourage himself with those words. That's the beauty of the Word of God. You can read the same scripture today and 2 years later be walking through a completely different set of circumstances and read another scripture and that scripture come alive and begin to minister to you. That's the beauty of the anointed Word of God, that God can do it over and over again. Something about the anointed Word of God. It doesn't get any better than the Word of God. I have a lot of great friends. I have a lot of good friends. I'm surrounded by tremendous leadership and influence in my life. But none of that compares to the spoken Word of God or to the Word of God itself in the Bible.
Right.
Psalms 19 and 7 tells us, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's powerful in itself. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's enlightening to the eyes. Our scripture text this morning reminds us of the absolute sovereignty of our Heavenly Father. Notice, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. When you see the bind up the brokenhearted, it means to wrap up or to heal, yeah, to gather together those that are brokenhearted. It's as if he's putting a bandage over it and treating it and wrapping it up tight as if he had an injury. And that's what he's doing. He's bringing the brokenhearted, and he's going to take care of them. He's going to deliver them. He's going to heal them, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Someone that is in mourning is not having a good day. Mourning is a rough time. It happens. Mourning is sorrow or lamenting. You're feeling or expressing grief. Maybe it's because of misfortune or loss or regrets. People in Bible times, when they would mourn, they would put ashes on their head as a sign that they were in mourning. It's kind of like the similarity to us today, or at least in postmodern times, where you would wear all black. And so ashes was a symbol in the Bible of being in deep mourning, and people would understand if they saw you with ashes on your head that you were in mourning. It symbolized that you were serious about something, and you were laying it before God, and you wanted people to know and to understand that you were in mourning. And they wanted folks to have pity on them, to have compassion on them, to have mercy on them, to help them. In fact, maybe you're in a state of mourning because you lost all your money. You lost all your friends. Maybe you've lost a loved one, relationships. It happens. It's part of life. Maybe you're facing grief in life over some past mistakes or sins, and you're feeling the conviction and the power of the Holy Ghost stirring in your heart. The Bible says that our Heavenly Father will appoint or assign to them. When something is appointed, it is assigned. It is designated. So He's going to assign beauty for ashes. When something is burnt up, And it's remained, all that is there is ashes. When you burn a fire, and when the fire is all out, it's the remains that are there, and it's the ashes. Maybe you're here this morning, and everything in life has burnt you out physically and emotionally and spiritually and financially, and all you're left with is the ashes there. You're sitting there, seated in situations of despair, and you've got ashes to work with. Can I tell you that He'll give you beauty for your ashes? It's an exchange. It says, you give me the ashes, and I'll give you beauty. You give me the broken things and I'll do something with whatever you give me. I can do something with it. He can take broken things, restore it, revive it, and make it better, because that's what he does. Can anybody testify that he's done it for you? And if he's done it for you, he can do it for somebody else. And he can do it again and again and again. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Maybe you've been in the wrong place. Ashes is a place where you find yourself in and things aren't going too well. Can I remind each of us today that there's nothing new under the sun?
Amen.
That I understand that you are living, breathing individuals, and that God gives us breath and God takes it away. But guess what? Life is not going to be perfect. Never has been, never will be. You say, well, if I had more money, money's not the issue. Money's not the solution. I know the scripture says money answereth all things, but it also says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
I know it's not more things and more time, because we've got the same amount of time as everyone else in the world. Come back in January, I'll teach you all about it. But guess what? If you've gone through something, chances are somebody's already went through it. They've come out of it and it either made them better or it killed them based on their response. But God is rich in mercy. He's able to help you and do it again and again and again.
Amen.
Someone here today, maybe it's your inability, and you're in mourning, because it's your inability to cope with life's ups and downs. Change. See, change is inevitable. It's constant. It's going to happen. Maybe it's disappointments. Maybe it's fear. But He'll give you beauty for ashes.
Amen.
Just give Him your ashes. Just metaphorically gather them up. And in a little while, when I make the altar call, metaphorically, don't bring ashes actually up here. Lay them before the Lord. Notice what the psalmist writes in Psalms 30 and 11. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Only God can do that.
Yeah.
Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. What may have you thought was going to destroy you is actually God refining you and making you better so He can position you for greater things. And He's wondering and saying, are they going to crumble? Are they going to fall apart? Can they handle what I'm about to give them? You ever tell somebody you can't handle it? We want to be able to handle what God's going to give us. We want to be able to do it with joy. Give you beauty for ashes. Turn your mourning into dancing. That means even with the ashes and the exchange for the beauty, that you can stand and you can have a little dance in your spirit and say, you know what? I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Can I tell you, it's more than a feeling, because I know what the scripture says, what He'll do, and God does not lie. So if He says He's going to do it, He'll do it again. The oil of joy for mourning. A face covered with oil was a sign of blessing and well-being. Bible times. So whenever you saw someone walking around with oil on their head and looking all cool and suave, it was a sign that things were good. There was well-being. It signified blessing. It symbolized it can symbolize the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's why we read in John 14 and 26, but the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. I want to preach right there for a moment. A lot of times when you get revived and restored or filled or refilled with the Holy Ghost, you begin to remember, because the Holy Ghost will bring things to your remembrance. You begin to remember about the past battles and the past trials and the past hard times. Remember, He brought me through it before. If He takes you to it, He'll take you through it. Yeah. And you begin to remember, you know what? There was a time where I was broke and busted. There was a time I was sick. I had no insurance, no money for medicine. There was a time my relationship was falling apart. There was a time I come into the house of God and I wasn't feeling like worshiping, but I heard somebody's worship go up and their praise go up, and it began to stir something in me. And the Holy Ghost begins to remind you and say, if I did it for you back then, I can do it for you this morning. If I blessed you back then, I can bless you again this morning. If I've saved your kids back then, I can save them again today. If I delivered you before, I can deliver them, because I'm the God that does it again and again and again. That's the God we serve. He does it over and over again. Somebody needs to encourage yourself in the Lord and say, you know what? He'll do it again. He'll do it again. All I got to do is believe. I got to ask, and I'll receive, and He'll do it again and again and again. So He's going to appoint to you those that mourn in Zion, to appoint to them beauty for ashes. That's what He does. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. You know, I especially appreciate folks that answer the phone when I call and I'm in trouble and I need help. You know, you get that. You get, man, I gotta make one call. I gotta make one phone call. I gotta make sure it works, you know. I was in Dallas, Texas two or three weeks ago, and big conference. And they say, you're taking the offering up on Thursday night. So yeah, no problem. Got this. Take the offering. But then Brother Drozik, they said, on Friday night, we're going to take an offering and we're going to hit this amount. Can you guys make some calls? Get some momentum going. $50,000 offering one night. And they said, we're going to do it in 5 minutes. Like, wow. So, man, I'm looking at my phone. Said, just make two or three phone calls. Brother Ron said, man, who can I call? 2 hour time difference. Who can I call that's going to answer? And then when I ask them, can their church pledge or can they send an offering in 30 days? They won't leave me hanging, you know. I don't want to be that guy on the committee that couldn't come through. I was 5 for 5. Thank the Lord. 5 of my friends answered, and all 5 of them said they'll give an offering. Thank the Lord. But can I tell you what? Sometimes you call people, you text them, and they even have the thing on their phone that says when they got it and they read it, and they still don't respond. You even have the thing on Outlook where you know the email was sent and it was read. You know they can't lie anyways. They try, but everybody knows you got it. Oh, I didn't answer. It's all right. Well, you should have called me earlier. You know, our Lord doesn't work that way. You call Him whenever you want. He hears you when you call. You can go email. You can sit down and talk to Him. You can write it down, your prayer down. You literally write it down and He can read it. You know that tears are prayers too. You can be crying and He can read your tears. You can just mumble some things and He hears it and He answers and He restores and He blesses and He does it again and again and again. Some of us need a good reminder to remember that, you know what? God's ear is not closed up and his arm isn't shortened. That means that God is not restrained by what he can't do, but it's because of our sins or our iniquities at times hinder God from doing some things. We got to remember that if we ask, he's able to restore. We got to quit wondering if God is hearing and understand that he's hearing, but what is it that I'm not doing that is preventing the situation from taking place? Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe what you're asking for is not the will of God.
Right.
Maybe you're being selfish, or as James says, you're asking amiss.
Yeah.
You want God to answer the prayer for $1 million because you don't want to work ever again. But it's not God's will, because God has placed you in a position on your job for people to see your light, and it can shine for him. And you're going to be a soul winner on your job. You're going to help people that need help. So if God took you away from that situation, you're the only Christian. You're the only representative of our Heavenly Father they're ever going to see. And God says, you know what? I'll bring you through it. I'll help you. And I'll do it over and over and over again. David says, It's the youth rally in me on Friday night, man. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Notice this. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When God anoints you with oil, that is a sure sign of being blessed and a sure sign of a well-being. Notice what the scripture says. Psalms 104 and 14. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle. And the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Matthew 6 is filled with so much good stuff. It reminds us that God will take care of us. And he'll do it over and over and over again. Take ye no thought for tomorrow will take care of itself. So got enough worries for today not to be stressed out and overwhelmed with tomorrow. Even if you make it till tomorrow, there's going to be enough there for tomorrow to take care of itself. God will take care of you today, and he'll do it again. If he take care of you yesterday, he'll do it tomorrow. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Some of you have been literally walking around in a state or in a cycle of perpetual sadness or depression or fear. When I make the altar call here in a moment, the altar invitation, I want you to bring that stuff to the altar and give it to God. Bring it down here in Jesus' name. And leave it here. You've done it before. Do it again. You can be refilled and refilled with God's Spirit. Over and over and over again. Pray that God would comfort you again. That God would deliver you again. That God would help you again. God would bless you again. See, some of you have your go-to people. You know that you get in a pinch, you could call them and they'll loan you the money. They'll give you the ride. They'll hook you up with the job. Can I tell you?
Right.
Anybody you ought to go to 24/7.
Yeah.
Not only when times are bad, but when times are good. That's the beauty of the relationship, because he'll do it over and over and over again. Restore me again. Fill me again. Anoint me again. And do it again, God, over and over and over, like only you can. Answer my prayer again. Help me again. Bless me again. And that's what he does over and over and over again. If the musicians would come. Maybe you've come in and you've got heaviness this morning. You've been lugging around. He says in the scripture, he says that he will give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When Heaviness can mean you're weak or despondent. When someone is feeling despondent, they're feeling hopeless or rejected. Let me tell you, explain to you a principle this morning. This is true. What goes up must come down. Okay? In order for God to do something, there has to be something for God to do.
Right.
In order for you to feed somebody, you have to have food, but there's got to be somebody that's hungry to eat the food.
Right.
Okay? Well, Pastor, that sounds really profound. No, seriously. In order for God to do something, there has to be something or somebody for God to do it for or use.
Right.
That's how it works. Someone has to be sick in order for there to be a healing.
Yes.
That's right.
Somebody has to need the Holy Ghost in order for God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I know we want to live in the realm of 100% of the time, 24/7, everything is okay. Read Ecclesiastes 3 or read the book of Job. Enough said. But understand this. Understand this. We want that need, Miss Ramos, to be somebody else. We want somebody else to be on their deathbed. Not our grandma. We want somebody else's marriage to be falling apart. Just not our parents' marriage. We want somebody else to be without a job. Just not our husband. We want somebody else to be going through a situation. Just not our kids. We want somebody else to have cancer. Just nobody in our family. Maybe that's a bad example because we don't want anyone to have cancer. But you want somebody else to need a miracle. You just don't want that miracle to be needed in your home. Because then you have to walk through it. But can I tell you, in order for God to do something, there's got to be somebody that's available, and there's got to be a need, there's got to be a response. There's got to be somebody that is sick in order for God to heal, just as there is somebody that needs the Holy Ghost in order for Him to fill somebody with the Spirit this morning. That's why I have the attitude. I have compassion. I have compassion. I tried to pastor with love. But when some of you are going through things, and I'll make the statement, you're a great candidate for a miracle.
Yeah.
I know some say, well, Pastor, you want me to give you a hug and say, oh, poor besito and poor baby. But man, aren't we apostolic Pentecostal?
Yeah.
Don't these signs follow them that believe? Hasn't God done miracles before? And He can do it again. And again. And again. So if you're feeling heaviness in your heart or in your life, He says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means you're going to take off the heaviness and you're going to put on the garment of praise. You're going to wear it. Mm. See, what qualifies you for praise, Psalms 150 and 6, is let everything that has breath praise you the Lord.
Amen.
You have to have breath. Things can be so bad, so wrong, and out of control. But the scripture says, if you got breath, you still praise the Lord.
Amen.
So He says, I'm going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You give me the heaviness, I give you the garment of praise, you put it on, and you praise me. I preached the message some time back. It happened while I was praying. But can I tell you, I could preach another message. It happened while I was praising Him.
Yeah.
And when I praised Him, He did it again. Can I tell you, as we stand this morning, you give Him the heaviness, He gives you the garment of praise, but you have to praise Him. That's how it works. You take it off, He gives it to you, and you put it on. So this morning, I close with this. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, And you're going to find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting some of your care on Him. Casting all your care on Him. For He cares for you. Take off the heaviness this morning. Give it to Him. He'll give you the garment of praise. Hast thou not known? Don't you know? Tell your neighbor, don't you know? Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? Neither is He weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases their strength. Hey, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That means He did it before, and He'll do it again. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You bring Him your ashes. You bring Him the heaviness, and He'll give you something else. Beauty and praise. I challenge us this morning as I make the invitation to the altar call. The altar is open. What will you bring? What will you lay down at the altar? What will you pick up from Him? And what will you do with it? Will you come this morning? I challenge you. Step out. Step out. You'd be amazed what happens when you step out and you come to the altar. You'd be amazed what takes place. Well, can I pray right where I am, Pastor? Absolutely. But try it. See for yourself what happens.
Your tender mercy I see. Day after day.
Watch what happens. He'll do it again. He'll do it again.
Great is your grace.
Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. Put it on the altar.
Your loving kindness for me.
He'll do it again. He'll do it again.
Forever faithful toward me.
Watch Him do it for you this morning.